We just recorded a hilarious intro.
And we're never doing that one again.
Yeah, we're not. We had to come up with some fresh stuff, but it wasn't recording the video. But it was not one of
It was within the first, like, minute.
We noticed.
So, you noticed.
Thank God. It wasn't like a repeat of, what was about a month ago where we repeated.
Where we did the double take.
Don't like the double take. No. But to be honest, maybe I could do a double take this week because I could talk about South Africa losing for ages.
Just when, like, some of the South African fans a fortnight ago were like, Tony's finally starting to come around.
No.
Like, he's finally actually a good bastard.
No.
Like, no, he's just a bastard.
No, he just loves watching South Africans. No, I was very happy for the Argentinians. Anyway,
we'll get to that.
Bringing one of the cardinal rules of
Two Cents Gets Distracted.
A rugby podcast is talking about rugby within the first 10 minutes or so.
True, we're not really supposed to do that. But Tony will have already flashed you.
My dick.
Some kind of
dick back. I can't do that.
You literally can't do that.
Yeah, I'll get off. There will be a flash of something there.
It'll be a time where you can skip to if you want to get to the rugby.
Dick back. I don't want to do this sort of thing because I don't.
Can I
like,
ask you a question?
I don't like having to edit things out.
So you and I.
Yes, you can ask me a question. I didn't.
Kind of grew up in the age.
We grew up at the exact same time.
Mostly before the likes of all the dating apps.
Yes.
We kind of grew up in the pre-dick pic age.
Have I ever sent a dick pic?
No, that's question? Not what I'm going to ask you.
Technically, every picture I send of me to anybody is
a dick pic. That's just true. But if you were 10 years younger, do you think you would have been a prolific dick picker? Or do you think you would have kept your privates to yourself?
I'd like to think I kept my privates to myself. To be honest with you, I don't quite understand the dick pic stuff. I don't know. I know a lot of girls who have received dick pics, and none of them ever are like, oh,
so glad I got that dick pic.
Oh yeah, God, baby. You know, like, yeah.
I think it's one of those cases of guys love their dicks.
Yeah,
and they assume that everyone else will feel the same way about their dick.
Yeah.
But that's not really how that one works.
Yeah. It's an odd thing, the whole advent of a dick pic. Yeah, it's, you know, old Aaron Smith got the dick pic, even before he got in real big trouble.
That's right.
Yeah, there's a few, I'm sure there's a few athletes over the years. I'm trying to think of one of them. One of the Burgess brothers from the Sydney City Roosters, an English bloke, he sent a dick pic. You know what? It's bad. I think I've seen both of their dicks.
You went looking for them.
No, I think I've
got to get me some of this.
Yeah, Reddit, the subreddit, rugby player dick pics. It's a niche market.
Very niche.
Yeah. But have you ever sent a dick pic in your life?
I'm too old, fortunately, for that
generation.
You're
not too old. Anyone can send a dick pic.
I suppose so.
You could send one in the next 10 seconds.
I suppose so. You might have to get at the old Zoom. Need to get you one of those new cameras, which does like you can photograph the moon in like crystal clear.
You could do one for like micro penis awareness day.
Mm.
You know, it's coming up, everybody. Mark your calendars for the tiny little penis.
If you still have a micro penis, I apologize for the man.
I met my first wife on the dating apps.
I think you're gonna say I met my first wife because I had dick picture.
No, I met my first wife on the dating apps.
Oh yes,
on the old Tinder window.
Okay, so you're not too old for that.
No, I didn't. Yeah, it's been around for a while. So I met her in 2013.
Okay, I got married like 2013. So
yeah, right. So you just missed the dating apps are fun.
I suppose so.
If you like, they get a lot of hate and stuff. And I think it's just bars get a lot of shit as well about people meeting in bars. You can meet dicks and assholes and bitches and wankers
anywhere,
but you can also meet great people anywhere. So I met my first wife there. She's cool. We're still mates. And I met my second wife on Tinder too.
There you go.
Who will be, what app will be number 3? Gosh. Yeah. Second wife. Man, I've really lived a life, haven't I?
Well done.
Yeah.
Oh. Imagine going to tell back the old 18-year-old Tony.
He would have believed it.
Self-awareness.
Yeah. He was like, that tracks.
Seems about right.
Yeah. But no. Anyway, do we want to go further into my failed love life?
Further into your dick pics.
Or dick pics or love life? What are we going to go with this week? You look like you're thinking about it a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. There's a new jacket.
All right.
Yeah.
One thing I was just about to ask you about the jacket. The green from the jacket. Looks like quite a, it's like a teal, really.
Yeah, it doesn't match because, like, this is a hat that I got printed. And I also have another Irish hat, which is an official Irish rugby hat. And they don't match. It's quite frustrating. It's a different green.
That's not really, that's a teal.
It's a different green. Ireland, you've changed your green. And it's quite frustrating. It's very bluey. Yeah.
But is it just the jackets like that? Because they still look green on the pitch.
I guess they just change the gear every year.
Gear every year.
To get you more money. Now I have to buy another hat. I'm not going to buy your damn hat, Ireland.
Can you say, find me Blair, the man with the sears, who gets me gear every year?
No, probably not.
Try and say it three times fast. Find me Blair, the man with the sears, who gets me gear every year.
I just won't remember. I have a really poor short-term memory. You know, when I took my full driver's license test, did you have to do the memory thing?
Where the I don't remember.
So there you go. The instructor would say, sorry, you'll pack up and you'll be like, right, I need you to drive.
I forgot my thing.
I'll get it for you in a minute.
Thanks, pal.
You need to drive, like when I say the word go, you need to remember every hazard that you see until we stop.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So it'd be like, you know, kid walking on the road, bike coming the other way, a little...
Oncoming
traffic, blue car behind me, all that kind of stuff.
Old lady masturbating on the side of the road.
Sending dick pics. Like, I failed that section miserably. Really? But the guy was just like, I don't think your driving's that bad. You've just got a really bad memory.
You've got an incredible memory. It's what you do.
Short-term memory. Ask me to remember something like quickly. No, I'm not going to remember.
You can name the entire Italian squad. I don't think anyone in the Italian squad can name everybody in the Italian squad.
All right, I do watch too much rugby.
Yeah, it's quite impressive. I'd struggle to name you three players in the Italian squad right now.
Try to name me three players from the Italian squad.
Contepomni. No, what's his name? The one that everyone gets pissed off. You get pissed off about it.
Starts with
Capuzzo.
Yeah, there you go.
Capuzzo. And that's all I can remember right this second. So okay. There you go.
What about the captain?
Margarita. Oh, what's his name?
That's a Spanish drink, isn't it?
No.
So
like a margarita pizza. Not a margarita drink.
Okay.
Yeah. Antipasto platter. So stupid. Okay.
Does this count as racist or no?
Oh, God. You can't do accents anymore. Can't do any accents.
Apart from Irish people accents. They don't come
okay.
Anywhere. What am I doing right now, Mike?
You're getting the read.
Right.
It's been some exciting times recently on the...
2 Cents Gets Distracted podcast. Which is a podcast available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and iHeartRadio and
wherever else you get your podcasts. But it's been a particularly exciting time because why, Mark?
Because we had Brad get in contact with us and he was like, I would like to buy you some beer.
And we said, okay.
As a sponsor.
Yeah, and it's very exciting. But the last couple of weeks, we've just talked shit for about 5 minutes.
And pointed people towards...
Four Paws Run!
Which is the business which is sponsoring us.
Thank you.
Very kindly.
Arr.
If anyone else wants to sponsor the podcast, feel free to follow in Brad's paw steps. And
I see what you did there.
There'll be an email address in somewhere.
But last week, I made an offhanded comment going, sometimes more proper podcasts have like... proper reads they've got to do.
And look what we've got. Like,
Mark's obliged. He sent us 16 pages.
Brad's obliged.
Oh.
Mark.
You obliged Brad's by printing it. You obliged by printing
it. I did print it off.
Now, we had to take out all the homophobic and anti-Semitic stuff that he had in here. So we... no, he didn't.
That's a joke.
That's a joke.
Oh, my God.
That's a joke. But we've got a great read here. So this is...
you notice people on the internet now have to put like a S with the old forward slash S to indicate sarcasm.
Seriously?
You haven't seen that.
No.
On Reddit. If you're going to make something sarcastic, you have to put a forward slash and S to be like, I'm being sarcastic.
Okay. Well, I was being sarcastic before.
Yeah, sometimes.
Was I being sarcastic? I was being absurd.
Yeah.
Sarcasm would be like me saying, no, I don't have a massive cock. When in reality, I'm a giant motherfucker.
I think it's being absurd again. Hey!
All right, okay, so this scene is... Let's picture us. We're a couple of blokes in the Arctic around a fishing hole.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Okay.
All right, mate. Picture this. You've just smashed out a long day at the fishing hole. Okay.
That's me.
Yeah, exactly. Ready to sit down with a cold one. Maybe not. You're at a fishing hole.
A warm one.
And a warm one. And your dog's just giving you a look like, oi, we're off to, we're off, we're going for a bloody run, aren't we?
What kind of dog do you reckon I'd have?
I think you would have a crossbreed between a Shih Tzu and a Doberman.
I knew you were going to say Doberman. Shih Tzu.
I think it's a...
A Doberman.
A Shitman.
You'll have a Shitman.
You'll have a Shitman. Okay, yes.
Mate, every damn day. It's like you have an Adi Savia in your house, full of gas, bouncing off the walls, ready for another 80 minutes.
It's full gas.
Oh, sorry.
Don't want him full of gas.
Cause that's true.
He'd be farting up a storm around your house.
That's true.
How would you feel about that? You met one of your like sporting icons and they just come to your house and stink the fuck out of it. Gotta stop swearing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Would you feel okay with it?
I think.
But really noxious ones. Like Dan Carter's come around and he's just like...
He's just farting up the storm. Sorry, Dan, you're going to have to leave.
He's got some seriously eggy farts Dan, that are like, just like...
Dan, like that 2015 World Cup final was fantastic, like, but you need to leave.
Remember when you kicked the last one with your left foot? Okay, anyway, exactly. If you have if your dog's got more energy than Aaron Smith after 10 espressos, you've got to check out Four Paws Run. Otherwise, they'll run you into the bloody ground.
I thought you'd see energy after Darren Smith sending more than 10 dick pics. Yeah, these legends don't mess around. They'll take your dog on proper adventures.
What makes them proper?
Well, they're not just those round-the-block shite. We're talking full-on... Off-leash fun, bushwalks, beach runs. It's like your dog's gone for a training match under Rusty Erasmus. You know he's a dog man.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not a cat man.
He's a dog man. That's right, mate. It's not just a walk. It's like a boot camp for your dog with a wanna. I was about to say something bad, but I won't. Your furry mate will come home naked, more naked than Owen Farrell after 80 minutes of missing tackles.
He doesn't miss tackles. He makes shoulder people high in the head.
But yeah. But anyway.
And listen.
No, I don't want to listen.
If you're looking for a weekend to yourself, you know, you want to get your phone out, get that right angle for that extended look, you need some time by yourself.
I need it.
Maybe watch a bit of footy. Or do something else and not feel guilty about the dog staring at you. Owner, why are you taking photos of your penis? I don't know. They've got boarding as well.
Fantastic.
Your dog will be off having their own wild time while you sit back and enjoy the game or whatever else you want to do. No fuss.
BDSM, bondage, furry stuff, whatever.
Whatever
you're into.
You don't really want the dog watching because the dog's judging.
Yeah, the dog's like...
You don't need to see that.
The dog's like, I guess you can call that a penis. It's not much of one. Too right. You've got better things to do than chase your dog around all day. Let Four Paws handle that. It's like a training camp for dogs. Except they come back tired and happy. Unlike the Aussies after a Bledisloe game.
Oh, too soon. Too soon. Shots fired. So, whether your dog's got the energy of a young Cheslin Colby or needs the discipline of a pissed off Eddie Jones, Four Paws has got you sorted. Even Gezza would give him a 14 out of 20.
It's not 7 out of 10.
Not 7 out of 10. Always out of 20.
Yeah. Head over to fourpawsrun.com. That's Four Paws with the number 4.
Yeah, the numeral.
Count them for me.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Four Paws Run.
Not F-O-U-R.
Go follow them on their socials, Instas and Four Paws Run on Facebook and all that stuff. And book them in for a proper adventure. Trust us. They'll be... Brad, look, everything was going right until this point. And you had to go there.
Oh.
You little bitch. trust us. They'll be more worn out than a Harbour fan waiting for a win over Northland. You bastard. You absolute bastard.
Four Paws Run, where your dog burns off all that bloody energy so you don't have to.
Yeah, you don't need to exercise. Give them to freaking Brad. He looks like he's cut out of granite.
Brad bought us these beers. Today we're drinking Parrot Dog Hazy Pale Ale. This is the Yellow Hammer.
Hold on.
That's what I also call my penis. The Yellow Hammer, because I've got jaundice.
Oh, really? You just see the color of it. It doesn't look natural. Okay, and scene. See, there we go. Thank you for that, Mark. Oh, no.
Cheers, Brad.
I don't want to call him Mark today.
Appreciate that, Brad.
I don't like the line about Harbour, though. They did beat us on the weekend. You know why, Brad? You know why I don't like it? Because it's a bloody indictment to be beaten by Northland, because they're shit most of the time.
We beat them.
Yeah.
Controversial.
And you don't beat anybody.
No. We only just beat Southland.
We beat Manawatu.
He smashed Manawatu.
Yeah. Tani Edmund played well. But yeah, thank you very much, Brad. Thanks for the beers. Cheers to you,
mate. Cheers, mate. I'll get some, I'm going to get some, what's it called? Big Red Dog, I think, for the next one.
All right.
I'm going to drive out to Albany for that.
Is that our last four pours?
Yes, our last four pours.
And then who's going to be next?
Oh, well, there's the sponsors lining up. Well, they're coming. If you want to get in touch with us, yeah. I'll see if I can squeeze you in.
It's a pretty big schedule. It's tough to get in there.
It's tough. Very exclusive.
It's really tough. It's really tough. But we give our sponsors a fair amount of time.
That's true.
We don't just give you 30 seconds.
We're very generous with our time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Should we talk some rugby?
I guess we're going to have to.
We did win the Bledisloe at the weekend.
Yeah.
Well, retained the Bledisloe. I guess you win it every year, don't you?
Well, it's easier to retain it than it is to win it. That's the situation. Yeah, we won it. And boy, did we look good.
For the first 25 minutes.
We looked incredible.
I was live streaming with the old boy and people were like, this is going to be 80, 90. We're going to get more than the Argentinians got.
Yeah, 21 points after 14 minutes.
Yeah. We were flogging them more than a point a minute.
Then we put on another 10 for the remaining 65.
Yeah.
Okay.
3 points in the second half.
Look, it's a weird one because if that was a game where they had got out to a great lead and then we put on 21 minutes to win, 21 points in the last 14 minutes to
hooray,
win the game.
What a comeback.
We'd be stoked and we'd be chuffed. But when you get out to that sort of commanding position and just the kind of baggage that this team is carrying around in regards to their very poor and somehow psychologically baffling last 20 minutes.
To finish the game.
Yeah, just terrible at closing games. They're like... it's like watching a horse race where one where
just goes
a horse
out to a blinding
just
lead.
Just gets out to an unassailable lead and just gets called you know, back up. And like well, we saw it in South Africa and we kind of just thought that that was a big part of, you know, the quality of the South Africans and the belief they had. But blow and behold, Argentina did it to us as well. They
did you say blow and behold?
I did. Blow and behold. Blow and behold.
Blow and my load. Stop blowing your load.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, blowing my load. So Argentina did it to us as well. They came over us. The last 15 minutes, they came all over us. We were like, oh, no. We really made a right mess of it. Yeah, we continue to struggle with being taken from behind at the end of games.
Yeah. Even we started really well.
We started well.
Will Jordan scored a try. Will like Jordan 2 minutes.
A lovely try.
It might have been a little bit of obstruction, but I think he was going through that gap anyway.
It was nice obstruction. Caleb Clark scored a nice try.
We got first one was Jordan. Then it was Ioane who got a try
first time
in a long time.
Did Rasmus get one?
No, his one was chalked off.
Yeah, that was an amazing try.
Ioane's one, I think he helped set up because he got the half break before he got it to Satiti who got it to Ioane.
He played very well. Satiti played very well. Rico looked okay for a long period of time. Caleb Clark.
Rico got a bit angry on social media. Did you see that?
I think it was pretty fair. Like someone was just copping him big time with the way he put the ball down, saying not even with the hand, you know, close away from the end. He said, "Oh, mate, well,
come to training,
show us how it's done. Otherwise,
stop talking about my brother."
Yeah. But he said Akira when he was talking about Rico.
And no, I think he was comparing him to his brother, saying, "Like you're going to be out of the team just like Akira or something like that."
Yeah, right. That's a wank rag thing to say online, really. Just
even if I didn't like a player, I wouldn't call them out on social media because. Why? Yeah.
Well, you can just say, I don't think so-and-so played so well. We can comment about, I don't know. But just the way a guy put a ball down when he scored a nice
You're allowed
try.
To comment. I just wouldn't. Or I might do it. I wouldn't, like, tag the person in it.
We literally make a podcast where we talk about players for an hour every week.
Yeah, I don't snitch tag them, though. Yeah. Rico, you got to see what Tone said about blowing his load.
And getting taken from behind. It was. It's just concerning.
And 2 minutes, 9 minutes, 15 minutes. We're literally three tries up. This is looking
unassailable
embarrassing
lead.
For the like 70-odd thousand fans who are there.
Yeah, well,
massive crowd.
Thank thank goodness that they got a bit of a spectacle.
I was
to watch.
Feeling bad for them, man. Like, geez, yeah. Like, I was thinking, is this gender? Because people have been telling me for years, Aussie rugby's dead. I was like, maybe this is a death knell if they're going to get like 80 points put on them.
Well, I was thinking, like, after that 14 minutes, so they had 57 points put on them in the last 40 minutes of the Argentinian game.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had 21 points put on them in the first 14 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So over a period of 54 minutes.
This was going to equal a big score.
No, but just how much.
Over oh, the, how many points they scored. In, oh, right.
So 57 plus 21 is 77. 77 points in just over 50 minutes of rugby.
It's a lot to concede.
That's a lot to concede. But out of seemingly impossibly,
mm-hmm.
they came back and made a bloody game of it.
McWright got their first one from a sweet line-out move.
Yeah. McWright, we have been blowing his trumpet.
And he didn't let us down.
No, he's so quality. He's yeah. really, really quality. It's a real shame that he hasn't been able to show his wares.
I would have loved the South African fans to see him, because I think they'd appreciate his game.
He's really quality.
Yeah.
He's really, really quality. The other player I like a lot, he's another loose forward of theirs, is Lange Gleeson.
Oh, yeah, he came off the bench.
Yeah, I thought
well.
He was very strong once he came on. There was a lot of other sort of good contributions from players who looked bloody tier three average early on in the game. Mm-hmm. But what was the turnaround for them? What was the key factor to enable them to come back into it?
Yeah, that's a tough one. It was just bizarre. Like, they just started. I mean, to be fair, some of the All Blacks tries, at least two of them, are turnover ball, right?
Yeah.
Like, was it the Ioane one? It's just like a tip pass.
We're lethal.
Goes to nobody, and then Reese gathers it, bees away, gets it to Savia, yeah. gone. Like, from turnover ball, we are freaking amazing.
Yeah, we can be very lethal. And that's ingrained in Kiwi rugby.
But one thing about the Razor All Blacks that's frustrated me a little bit is just the ability to get those like 15 on 15 like
set piece tries and stuff.
Yeah, like the Aussie one, like the McCrite one. Like, I don't necessarily always want us to have to wait for a turnover ball opportunity. Yeah. I want us to be like, we're planning to do this, and then the plan gets executed and it gets its reward. Go 20 phases, break a team down.
Yeah.
Like the box of doing.
And you're like, what we are basically waiting for is for a team to make a error, you know. And if a team manages...
Not always, but yeah.
In a lot of cases. If a team does tighten up their discipline or does and does tighten
Will,
up
was
their...
Was the Will Jordan one a set-piece try? Was it from a line-out?
No, I don't think so. Oh, no, there wasn't... Well, no, it wasn't from a turnover. They had the ball.
Was it? From
I think
our
it might have been from a line.
Yeah, maybe that
there
one
we
was.
Go. Okay,
so we did get one.
Congratulations, us. But throughout this year, most of our tries have been opportunistic. But like incredible skill and great awareness and all that sort of stuff.
For sure,
a lot of other teams wouldn't score those tries.
But it's like that's not necessarily something that's been coached into you. That's just like your innate ability as a rugby player.
Trust yourself
to heads up rugby.
D-Mac, what's your thoughts?
I mean, the guy creates a lot of opportunities. Yeah. I think he's getting so much shit.
Yeah.
Like, he's like
he's such a good player, but he just, it's almost as though he still plays like a bit of a rookie, and he's been around for ages. He still looks like a kid.
He's got 50-plus caps.
Yeah, he's still been, but just like, there was one occasion where he'd made a great break. He just needed to put a little inside ball, I forget to which player.
Yeah.
But he goes for the back flick for no particular reason. And it goes like half a meter behind the player. And try squandered.
Yep.
You know, like, just take the sensible option. I know, like, he probably gets told, look, you're an incredibly talented player. Trust yourself out there. But why make things more difficult?
Why go for the 50-50 play?
You just need to go like that rather than like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if it sticks, we all go, wow, look there. But
yeah,
high stakes stuff. You know, you've got to get those things right. And when you're under that much pressure, just pass the blooming ball.
Yeah, we blew numerous tries in that game.
Yeah.
And even Joe Schmidt said that in the press conference. They were like, because I think the pundits were kind of bigging him up a bit. And he basically, Joe Schmidt's a real realist. He came out and basically said, look, the All Blacks could have had, I think, 50 or something, you know, if they'd, yeah. if they'd taken all their opportunities. And he's not wrong, man. Like, we blew, like, forward pass tries, not finding the last man when it's just, like, you know, it's all but done.
And when and that was what was different about
the
those
Reece
first...
knock on one. Like, we got a couple of tries chalked off, right? Yeah. So...
that amazing try that Ratama scored, which would be one of the tries of the year.
Exactly. That was the DMAC forward pass in the build-up, right? So...
but we keep waiting for it to click because it all kind of looks like it's there for these little brief patches.
Yeah.
But we still, other than that Fiji game, which is no offense to Fiji.
That is one of the Pacific Nations Cup.
Well, that's the only game this year where we've put 80 minutes together.
Mm.
The rest of it, it's been scratchy at best and really bad at times. Like we show these little glimpses of really quality rugby. We looked great for the first, you know, 55, 60 minutes in Ellis Park.
Mm.
We didn't look as assertive and confident in the following week in Cape Town. And this week we looked incredible, looked the best we've looked since the World Cup
and then
for about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And even though part of me was thinking, are we that good or is just Australia
that bad
right now? But yeah, it's
really hard to get a gauge on the teams at the moment.
It feels kind of like we've lost a lot recently. And look, we just beat Australia, which one of our greatest rivals.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like a little bit of a loss somehow.
Yeah, it's a moral victory to the Aussies. Because the Aussies, they lost handily to the Box both of their games in Australia. They're coming off a record loss.
They got back their best player.
That's true. They got back McCrite. But like their 10, like Lolasio, he's not playing that well either. Like we were giving DMAC a lot of stick.
Ben Donaldson played well when the game started to get open. Oh, no. That was the last game.
It was...
who's playing 15?
Tom Wright.
I thought he started to play well. He scored a nice try.
Yeah, he scored a nice try. Got rid of DMAC for one. Paisami got one. A dummy...
yeah,
I think Kane missed a
pretty easy
Kane's play. One on like Kane was pretty quiet, wasn't he?
Mm.
Like that tackle he missed on Fassler was just
well. That's what you're in the team for,
basically. If you're picking Sam Kane, and I've been one of his supporters at times, and people are like Kane's crap. I'm just like, well, Kane's there to make tackles. He's not there to be Adi Savia. If he doesn't make the tackle, he makes me look like a dick.
He's 98 tests now,
98 or 99, something like that.
So
yeah,
pretty close to the big Hundy. Does he make his Hundy?
Probably. Depends how sentimental the coaches are. I don't think he makes it on that performance, though.
Put him on the bench. Give him a Sunday. Well, like, they obviously like what he's doing somewhere because he's played the last three
games. Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for the experience because, to be fair, when we were starting to let the game slip, you feel like you need someone to take the team by the scruff of the neck and just be like...
Is the problem the bench? Is the bench a big part of the problem? Like
I still feel like Razor doesn't trust the bench. And to be fair, the bench didn't show that much of why they should be trusted. Like Tossie, I was like, come on, bring on Tossie. I think he gave away a pretty dumb penalty, was it, for a high tackle?
Yeah.
And Almua missed a few tackles. And like, Derry, I don't think Derry had a knock on, didn't he?
Derry looked like a little clumsy out there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So the bench didn't get that much faith shown him, but then they didn't show... Really, like Plummer got like, what, 5 minutes or something?
Well, good on him, for God. That's
don't think he touched the ball, did he?
Well, I don't care. Look, there's nothing... One thing we never thought we'd say is...
Harry Plummer,
the All Black. Yeah, good on him.
If you don't know what we're talking about, it's because Harry Plummer has been playing for the Blues for a few years, and even at Super Rugby level at times, you were like, what the heck's that
guy doing
there? He
struggled for a spot in Super Rugby. We played he had a cracking season this year.
This year, he was genuinely phenomenal. It was a real, like, you know, comeback story from a guy who was so...
maligned.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, very much so.
Maligned. Mm. I don't use that much.
Well, there you go.
I should.
Put it in your repertoire.
There we go.
Of vocabulary. Vocabulary.
We had a couple of yellow cards. Is our discipline a problem? Like our penalty count wasn't actually too bad, but the ALB one for multiple infringements.
Well, certainly it's not going to help us, especially in that last 16
Caleb
minutes.
Clark's, like, I don't like the one-handed knock-on rule, but Caleb's Clark one was blatant.
And it's blatant, right? And it sucks. I just think, well, I guess the hard thing about all of those ones is they're all instinctual.
Mm-hmm.
They're all like, throw a hand out there. Oh, no.
His one was among the worst of the ones that
I've seen. Yeah, you didn't have much.
Didn't have a chance of getting that one.
Yeah. I don't, but there's just so little processing time of being like, can I get to this? Is this realistic? Can I go for it?
Mm.
Because you kind of got to be on it and doing it to actually get an intercept before you can even have.
By the time you thought about it, the chance is gone.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's the exact same instinct you go when you go for an intentional lock. When you get an intentional knock on in 10 minutes in the bin, you're like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of it is also, I think there might have been an element of that one where he's like,
intentional pass me. I'm getting skinned down the side here. Which that does deserve a bit of a spell. And you, who else went off? It was
ALB.
Oh, that's right.
There was like multiple penalties in a row.
You know who I'm wondering where the heck he was? And we thought, boy, he looked bloody great when he came on, when he played the whole game against Fiji, I think. Proctor.
Well, he's not even playing.
Where has he gone? He played.
They haven't played him.
He played an outstanding game. He should just gone and pissed off everyone.
He made my team of the week. I made a little slide for my team of the week video and everything. And I've never even, never even been in the squad again.
Yeah, he was outstanding.
The fact that he's not got a second opportunity is bizarre.
In a decent standard of test. Well, I think maybe this is his week because obviously we haven't seen the team.
Geordie looks injured.
Geordie looks like he's gone for a wee while.
ALB, 12.
Geordie has not been having his greatest season, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's been okay, but...
Not great.
Not great.
But you should be great.
You should be great if you're the All Blacks
12.
You should
be great.
Yeah, you're wearing Martin Lunders' jersey.
Yeah. Also, Walter Little's jersey.
I knew you were going to say that.
How do you know?
I just knew it.
How can you make this about North Harbour? Well, Walter Little and Frank Bunce, what a cracking midfield duo they were.
You know what Rian Lowe said?
Oh, tell me what Mr. Lowe said.
When the All Blacks named their squad, he looked at it and he was like, your 10 is a utility, D-Mac.
Yeah.
Your 12 is a utility.
Yeah.
Geordie Barrett, you know, fullback come 12. Your 13 is a utility. It's a wing come centre.
Yeah.
Your fullback, because it was Bodie at the time, is a utility. And then you've got two wingers.
Yeah, fish out.
Do we need to kind of look more to the specialist like a Proctor, who was just basically an out-and-out 13?
Yeah, I'd like an out-and-out 13.
Or like ALB, who's more or less an out-and-out midfielder.
I think talented footballers can play anywhere on the field, a lot of those guys. Like, you could have put Dan Carter anywhere on the field.
Yeah, it's a bit rich coming from a South African when they got like Frans Steyn, who used to play like both wings, fullback, midfield, like 10. Come on, Rian.
Yeah, suck a fat one, Rian.
But maybe that's just because that's one player who can do that, not the whole... Yeah,
but I kind of agree with him.
Yeah, I kind of agree with him as well.
But suck a fat one. But I agree with you. And stop hassling me about my wine drinking. I'm very sensitive about it. Come around for a wine, though, Rian.
Sleep on the couch over there.
He can sleep on the couch between the hours of 11 p.m.
Okay, you can sleep on the couch, the other couch.
No, he can sleep on any of my couches between the hours of 11 p.m. to 1:46 a.m.
Okay.
You can have a power nap and boat and then go.
Okay.
No, you can stay anytime. Anyway, that sucked. What did we think about Australia's? But then there's a weird part of me because I've been,
Let me ask you a question.
Okay, yeah.
5 more minutes in that game. Do the Aussies win? Because they had the Ikitau try denied when Callaway knocked it on the build up. And you're like, oh, that's their chance gone. If they had scored that, they still had 5 minutes to score. They did get the score because they got the right try, but it was 79 minutes.
I think they've got a really, really good chance of winning. They had all the momentum. We would look like freaking panicked gooses out there. Like
13 men on the field didn't help
for
a while.
We saw it. We only had 14 at the end, didn't we?
14 at the end. ALB had come back on.
But yeah, I think... Like, I thought, even when the things were getting tight, I was like, we just got a couple too many points for them.
Right.
So I never thought that, we're going to lose this. Like, they had that one kickoff when there was 1 minute to go, and I was like, we should be able to just...
Yeah, we shouldn't lose this one.
We shouldn't lose this one. Like, we just had to somehow stop them from scoring a length of the field try. But if we did lose it, I would have been... Pretty dark about it. Because I'm pretty dark about just the game in general. Like, going from, like, We are absolutely pumping this team till we are dog shit.
let me ask you one more thing.
Yeah.
Because there's a bit of news I read right before we came on. I didn't mention it before the podcast, but it looks like the All Blacks have done the old, in an emergency, break the glass and get Wayne Smith, because Wayne Smith's now with the squad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They've done the Black Ferns.
Yeah, basically. Holy shit.
Oh, shit. We've got to win a World Cup. We need to get Wayne Smith.
We need Wayne Smith.
Yeah, really?
They've brought Wayne Smith in before the next Bledisloe match to kind of work with the squad. So is that a sign of dire straits, or is that you've got a resource there, you might as well use it, or what do you think?
Well, what is happening within that team? Because all the coaches make the right noises and all that sort of stuff. But Leon McDonald, we didn't talk about this because the 1 week we head off, gets one of his dream jobs, like being part of the All Black team.
Yep.
Because it doesn't have anywhere to go.
He basically, if the reports were true, he was basically offered the Scotland job.
Yeah.
And was like, do I take that as the head coach or do I be the All Blacks assistant coach?
Can I give you some complete pure speculation as well?
And he had worked with Razor and his assistant before at the under-20s and at the Crusaders. But apparently, according to my dad, I don't know if you're right, Dad, but the part of the reason, because Leon McDonald left the Crusaders and went to be head coach at Tasman because they had a little bit of a falling out back then. Tasballs. Yeah, I don't know if that's true.
Can I give you a complete speculation?
Go on then.
What my theory is? Look,
does it involve dick pics?
Could do, but not the way I tell it. I think that, at the end of the day, the head coach is the head coach.
Yes.
The assistants, all of them, their boss is the head coach, right?
Yes.
Razor was like, this is not working.
Yes.
And they kept on making noises, probably put on like performance improvement, sort of tried to get everything right, try to get on the same page, all this, tried to do everything. And then Razor would have got to a point where it's like, this isn't going, you've got to go. And it's like, you got two options. Either you officially get the flick from us, or we, handle this nicely, you get a payout.
Right.
We agree it's a mutually agreeable situation. Right. It seems like very much an employment situation,
right,
where like you're trying to manage someone out of a company,
yep,
and you say, hey, look, you get a little severance here, we'll say thank you for your time.
His severance package was large.
Yeah, the severance package was large and immediate dismissal. So to me, that strikes...
You think he got the ass?
That's in any other company,
yeah,
that's the ass. Leaving immediately, severance package, and saying...
You think if he legit walks, then he loses the rights to at least a good chunk of a severance package?
Yeah.
Like if it's his own call.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If they wanted to keep him, they would be like, well...
I think they came to a point where they were like, look, if we fight, things are so toxic and bad in this environment for Leon and between Leon and Razor, that we have to get rid of him. How do we put a fluffy picture on this? How do we make it seem
everyone
like
saves a bit of face?
Everyone saves it. They had some honest conversations. They could be a freaking massive Barneys and total speculation. I've zero heard nothing, but to me that is
what it looks like from the outside.
Yeah, if I looked at just any other employment situation, someone's chosen to leave and they get a little bit of coin on the way out, they've been heave-ho pushed out the door, and with the threat of if you don't go willingly, this could get ugly, you can save a little bit of face, put on your resume, fired coach of the
instead of fired coach is like I mutually terminated. Yeah. One of the people on my channel speculated that as Leon ate the last Tim Tam and the Razor was pissed off.
Could be.
Well, Tim Tams were on special that week that he left as well.
Oh.
So they could have bought a lot more Tim Tams with that severance package.
Draw your own conclusion. Yeah. Anyway, that's total speculation. I've got no evidence whatsoever.
But just what I was looking from the outside. But yeah, the fact that Wayne Smith is coming in seems like they are a bit...
It's like they're going to Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, basically. They need like, hey, wait, how do you coach the All Blacks? Holy shit, we've been trying this, we've been trying that.
We keep on saying to them that,
play well.
Walk towards the pressure.
Rico, pass the ball.
Trust yourselves. Be open and skilled. Think about the legend that have gone before you in the black jersey. Like, they haven't shat the bed completely. But they've just been so, like, they've been winning games, apart from the South African game, and they won against Argentina. They were unconvincing against England. They were disappointing against South Africa.
We kind of took it as though, like, they were okay against South Africa. Going away and losing was, like, not disgraceful.
It's not disgraceful, but it's not all.
It was disappointing.
It was very disappointing. They got a free ride out of it. So the pressure's starting to ratchet up. Like, out in this whole tournament, they did that graphic where they're like, how many points each team scored in the last 20 minutes. Yeah. And I was like, you know, freaking 50, 60, 89, yeah, whatever it was. And
zero.
Big old duck egg next to New Zealand.
So weird.
And that used to be our thing. We could just...
It's our forte.
We used to be able to just turn the volume up a little bit. And
you'd
just
literally be down by 10 points with 15 minutes to go. And you'd be thinking, oh, we got this.
We can do this. They're tiring.
I literally used to make money from the TAB doing that. Because when the All Blacks would go behind, the odds would actually shift to where the All Blacks are paying a decent amount to win.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, I check. All Blacks always win it from here.
Yeah, yeah.
I lost like $50 on that when we lost to Chicago. Oh, so we went behind against Ireland. I was like, we'll win this.
Yeah,
we don't lose to Ireland.
For fuck's sake.
Excuse my language.
Beep. Yeah, but it seems, it's just so wildly weird. They can't say, like, they keep saying, look, oh, we just got to focus on executing our opportunities. It's blindingly clear that there's a psychological issue now.
Mm.
You know, like,
they've lost also Gilbert Anoka.
Yeah, the old mental skills coach.
Maybe that's part of it.
Get Gilbert back.
I don't know. Gilbert's the one who helped do the whole no dickheads thing.
Yeah, and he says things like, black, what a color to be defined by, represents death and all sorts of other nasty things. So why would you pick black to be the thing that represents you? It's because it's deep, because it goes beyond ourselves, and that's what you need to do. That's what we need to do. He says things like that. Did that get you hyped?
No, people always bring up the no dickheads one in a way that
sweep the sheds
inappropriate.
Sweep the sheds.
Like, people always think no dickheads means you should be like a smart or a good person. But that's not what no dickheads was.
No, it just means don't be a dickhead.
It means don't be selfish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, be a good team player.
Well, then we kind of lost it when, like, we had like half a dozen players being guilty of all sorts of nuts.
Yeah, but that, again, that's not like the no dickheads thing was never about like, hey, by the way, when you're at home,
smack a girl, you're
a dickhead. Be a good dad, you know? That wasn't like, but that's not what the no, people took the no dickheads thing to mean like what they meant was like be a saint, but that's actually not what it was. No dickheads was like be a team player, don't be like selfish with the ball, do the right thing for the team.
On the field,
show up for training on time, all that kind of stuff. It wasn't actually like, you know, you should be a good husband and father.
And make sure you mow your lawns.
Don't get drunk and beat up your missus. Although all these kind of things you should also be doing. But
especially the beating up your missus, you shouldn't do that.
You should never do that. Did you see one of the Fijian guys got in trouble for that again? Did we talk about that? Habosi?
I heard something.
He got sacked from the Drua like 2 years ago for getting drunk and beating up his missus. Same way as Evie Reese did all those years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
They both lost their contract, so the Drua terminated his contract, and then for Reese, Connacht terminated his contract. Now, Reese turned it around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Never touched alcohol again. I think he got married to the girl. God, became an All Black.
Nice.
Whereas Habosi went to France, Got drunk again and beat up his missus again.
You're a dick.
Yeah, it's pretty dick. Have you seen Stuart Hogg?
Oh, yeah, pushed a guy.
Ramos.
Pushed Ramos out of the touch,
and then Ramos, like, chucked the ball away or something, which is a bit of a dick move, and then, like,
and then he pushed him into a ball boy.
Yeah, Stuart Hogg's a bit of a dick.
Looks. I thought he retired.
Oh, I thought so as well, but he came back to play for Montpellier.
He's like a reoccurring hemorrhoid.
There you go.
He's got a face like a hemorrhoid. It's very red.
That's the All Blacks.
The All Blacks.
Do we need to be giving more credit to the Aussies?
Or are we just being negative New Zealand pricks? I'm low-key happy for them.
Because some people, like, wherever we win, but we're not happy with our win, people are like, fuck you, All Blacks fans are shit to listen to because you're just so hard to please.
We could be. Sorry if we're being hard to please to keep fans. That. Yeah. But if you're like,
you got to admit, you thought we were going to pump them as well. Yeah. When it was 21-0, you thought this is a 50, 60, 70 point game.
We're talking to you, Steve.
You thought that.
Steve.
So if you thought your expectations got to here and then we only performed to there.
All right, all right, all right. Let's talk about happier things. The Springboks lost, everybody. Yeah, I know. I'm just doing that to wind up South Africans, okay? And also because I like watching them lose. But, you know. Marnie Lebok is what a player. What a player.
He missed a penalty.
Yeah, I like watching him play, though. I think he's actually quite good around the park. He's a really good player.
Perfect if he didn't have to do the goal.
But he doesn't have to kick. Like, that's what I don't understand. Like, he doesn't have to kick the ball. He has to kick the ball out of hand, but he doesn't have to do the goal kicks.
His kicking for like those high kicks he would put.
Yeah, it was a great, John Eales was a bloody kicker. Jeff Wilson was a kicker when he was on the wing. Don Clark played fullback. He's one of the greatest kickers of all time.
A lot of French nines are good kickers.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Anyone can, you know, Pretty Whipper used to kick the ball for us, especially through that World Cup.
Yep.
Until the final where he shat the bed a little bit.
That's true.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a kicking 10.
Why does the 10 need to be the... Can we just appreciate the guy being a good footy player?
He's a very good footy player.
Yeah.
But in South Africa, the 10 generally does the kicking.
So can't anyone else do it? Couldn't they keep Pollard and
they
put him out?
They could have put Pollard at 12, I guess. Yeah. But they didn't. They took him off.
That's on Rossi.
Trusted Marnie Lebok's boot.
Yeah.
He kicked the first one.
The first one was much harder, too.
Yeah, the first one was harder. Should have missed that one. They were still behind at that point. That penalty put them in front.
Yeah.
I kind of thought he was going to miss that one, but I was like, oh, man, he's got the kicking boots on today.
Well done. Anyway, should we talk about this game from the get-go?
This one was a similar story in that South Africa...
Bang, bang.
...flying, and you're thinking, oh, we know which Argentinian team showing up today.
Bugger.
The crap one.
Yeah, I told you before we started the pod, but I was near Matakana at Badley's Beach for a boys' weekend this weekend. So I watched it with the boys on Saturday night, the Bledisloe. But then I had to get back midday-ish.
I was getting a cheeky little coffee from...
I was getting a cheeky little coffee from Matakana, and I just opened my phone and it was like... Miss penalty, Argy's win.
Oh, no. You got spoiled.
And I did this. I went, oh, yes. Oh, like little fist pump because it's a bit different and, you know, keeps things interesting, a little bit spicy.
Competition's still alive.
Yeah. And then, but also like, oh, I was about to go home and watch it.
Right.
I did go home and watch it.
Takes all of the meat out of that, like, final kick.
Yeah, it does, because it was like...
You knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, I was like, he misses this.
Brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, but they got out to an absolute flyer.
But you hadn't seen, like, the score. South Africa come out of the blocks flying, you must have been thinking, how did they blow this?
Exactly. If I was watching it live, I would have been like, oh.
Fussy gets one 4 minutes, Creel gets one 8 minutes.
Creel just slicing through, Fussy on a nice wide ball.
It was all South Africa.
Yeah.
It was like quicker than we were scoring. We were, it was quicker.
But it was a half of two halves.
Yes, it was.
And the freaking Carreras.
Mateo Carreras.
Carreras from Albalozundo.
Albalozundo.
I like the number 10. What's his name?
Thomas Albanos.
Albanos.
He's not Italian.
Albanos. I like him. I think he's great. I think he created a lot of really good stuff out there.
He also wasn't great with his goal kicking.
What's Chops Magera? What's his name?
What?
Chopagera? Chops Magera?
Oh, Chocobares.
Chocobares.
Chocolate bars.
Chocolate bars. Okay, Chocobares. Yeah, I like him. They've got some really, really good looking backs who can also play rugby really well. They're very slick, like really, really lovely to watch them. Like, they're the way that they're able to draw attention to defenders in areas. They play like a flashy football team in a way. You know, it's beautiful to watch.
It's great to see them actually having a crack, because under the previous coaches, they were a little bit reluctant at times to unleash these guys. Like, they've had these good wingers. I remember even back in the days when the Hawaras were in Super Rugby, they had guys like Dalgi, and they had Bofelli, and they had the other winger's name I always forget now. Mojano. They had Mojano.
I like Bofelli. Where's he at the moment?
He's injured. I think he's playing preseason URC stuff. But yeah, it was they've always had these guys, and then the Pumas coaches would just be like, let's just kick the ball and try to.
Well, they were like, we need to play
conservative.
We need to play winning Test rugby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it didn't shit. Like it was disappointing to see them not unleash.
This is one of the things we need to do with international rugby, is if you look at like international football, like teams have a flavor, you know, from all over the world, they have different flavors.
You know,
And I think that's why like the likes of like bringing in Georgia and Chile and all these teams, like you go like, oh, this is kind of a, even Japan when they
A lot of teams have different styles.
Give us your DNA and put on a pitch. You don't have to play like South Africa. You know, like they're big meat-eating bastards who can like maraud you.
They love a bit of biltong.
Yeah, they love a bit of biltong. They love a braai, and they're huge. But maybe that's not you.
Yeah, you don't have to try to emulate that.
You can play your own style. We play a different style, although we don't play in the last 20 minutes. But yeah, I really, if one thing Contepomni has done is he has enabled them to have confidence to play Argentinian rugby.
Because he, as a player, he was always kind of a, you know, as a 10, he's already got that kind of attacking bit about him. So maybe that's part of it. Like Ledesma was like the front rower.
Maybe
it's just mentality change. I don't know. But it's good to see them back themselves.
I think he's been stunning. And the other thing I think we need to start doing is like putting a bit of bloody respect on Argentina. Argentina.
It's a great country.
Argentina.
I love Argentina.
God, I've done this like 3 weeks in a row.
I know.
Argentina's name. Like, they are a quality rugby side that has beaten the All Blacks, the Wallabies, and the Springboks. They beat the Wallabies a record score.
Yep.
They beat the All Blacks in New Zealand.
Record score.
You know, yeah, record score. And they beat the South Africans after going out to a pretty crappy deficit.
Yeah, it was pretty like 17-0 damn quickly, lead, right?
Pretty quickly. They are a world class quality team that needs to be respected. And also needs to be respected when they play in our country, and we need to go to actually watch the damn games. I love drinking beer. I enjoy doing this podcast. Drinking beer and doing this podcast makes me gassy.
You're just full of hot air.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What do you think of the Sclavi try? The mall one where like they got the mall's being shoved into touch and they pop it out. The big man burrows over.
That was lovely.
This scrum was under a lot of pressure though.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a strength of South Africa, isn't it?
Scrum was good. It was such a weird game as well because the first half you got South Africa try, Argentina try, South Africa try. And then the second half is just not so much in the tries. There was one.
Yeah, no, the tries dried up, so to speak. Because I was thinking, geez, 28-22 or whatever it was at halftime.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a full-time score.
That's a crazy score.
Yeah, so if that's a lot of points if it goes like that again.
Yeah,
so yeah,
it was not at all. It seemed to be bloody hot though.
It was a terse affair.
The guys were knackered. Like guys in the second half would just like you'd see them make a tackle and they'd just be like, "Oh fuck me days!" They didn't want to get up.
I'm gonna get back up here. This sucks.
Yeah,
yeah, genuinely yeah, seemed yeah, like it's that. Definitely tougher. But they, the South Africans, seem to be.
They were going to win it, man. Like, they had the scrums. Like, every scrum was leading to a penalty. You knew, like, either this is going to be 3 points they're going to go line out. It's going to be more. It's going to be try.
I thought that the best the South Africans have looked in this series was their first game against Australia, where they showed us...
bit of the old razzle-dazzle. They were doing the razzle-dazzle in this game early. Like, Jesse Creel chucking it above his head and stuff. It was razzle-dazzle.
For a little bit and
for the first 20 minutes or so. 20 minutes,
And then there's been a lot of backlash about from South African fans going, that's not South African rugby. That's why the All Blacks were able to get into those games because they're not playing real, you know, off the big bowling or bomb squad
play
coming
strengths
on.
Trying
yeah,
to play,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Set piece, freaking high ball, boring shit.
I love how you're like, play to your DNA. That's boring shit.
It is. But like, I really was excited when they played against Australia. I was like, whoa, because they had all those threats, the big threats, but they were adding another wrinkle. So teams were like having to be overly aware of too many threats. And they were all encompassing. You know, they were a full, complete rugby team. but they seem to have like dabbled back into it and then got scared of it when it hasn't gone totally well. And now they just seem like they've been very, very dominant so far. They've only lost one game.
Mm.
But I don't think they have played that well. Like, that first game against Australia, I thought they were outrageously good and I was shitting my pants.
Mm.
But I think I know we talk about how the greatness of this era of South African rugby and all that sort of stuff, but to hold them at that high standard of this great, you know, once in a generational team, they're not playing to that standard.
Yeah, I mean, even against us, we said, man, they could have put more points on us. They missed chances.
Yeah.
Like, they've not played to their full potential. So, yeah. Do you think the 10 changes was part of the reason?
Yeah, that's a big thing to think about, really, isn't it? Like, it still looked like a quality team.
Oh, for sure.
You know, you make 10 changes and bring Andre Pollard on to be your starting 10. Like,
not a bad guy.
Yeah. Maybe the most successful number 10 in World Cups all time. DC only won one.
Mm.
So,
well, he was in the squad for 2011, but he didn't play much.
Smashed his groin.
Wonder if he sent pics of it.
Check it out. But it
to
was...
To Honor as well.
Yeah,
hey, Honor.
Check this out. Check it out. Smashed my groin. But it's, to bring him on, that's... And I felt like every player like seemed like they were... When you look at them on paper, you're like, oh, they're test quality, you know, which is a
Nobody was looking at that box squad and going, man, this squad's the B team. Like, this squad's weak. Nobody was saying that.
No, they all looked... Where was Moody? I thought Moody would have a bit of a
crack. Yeah, no, they didn't play him, even though he only got that one game, like, against us a fortnight ago. They didn't play him, which was unusual. But they played Kirtley Aronson, and he got outclassed by Mateo Carreras, man. He got yellow carded for that high shot. Puma scored during the yellow card period.
It was a fair high shot as well.
Yeah.
Not a fair high shot, it was a fair yellow card from the high shot. It wasn't too much in it live, but you look at it slow and you're like... Mm.
There's a few penalties in that game where guys got held into rucks pretty deliberately. Like, there was one where Matera was like, he got a standing start carry. He waited for Ben Jason Dixon to like tackle him, and then he just kind of fell on him and was like, there's a penalty, sucker. Yeah. And he got him. And then right towards the end of the game, the penalty to win it,
he was
like the Springbok 9 came in. Hendrickson just trapped the tackler.
And he was sprawled over him, holding him in there.
A few times in the game.
And that could be called as a penalty the other way. You're pinning him in there.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like the refs got suckered into a few of those penalties in that game.
So maybe a little bit of justice with
Mr. Well, both teams. Every team does it. The refs that are on the game are just like, don't hold him in.
Yeah.
But it's a hard one.
It's a tough one. Yeah.
Martin Leibach missed the penalty. Does Martin Leibach play for the Springboks again?
I hope so. I think he is... Just find someone else to do the bloody kicks. Obviously, he can kick the goals in a pinch, but he's not. He hasn't got ice in his veins when it comes to that.
No, the pressure.
Stuff.
That was a pressure.
It's a pressure kick. Yeah. You know, he hits that kick 8 times out of 10.
I think if he's like, on the training paddock, nobody's watching, he hits it 10 times out of 10.
Yeah. But yeah, it didn't quite go that way.
Mm.
Yeah,
it's one of those harsh ones as well because
I've got nothing against that guy.
Rugby's 80 minutes, man. There's things that have gone on all throughout that game, but that's the thing. If you're the goal kicker, that's the job.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone else can in the team can blame him because maybe you should not have put yourself in that situation.
Rusty said that in the post match. Right?
Yeah, when you're relying on that guy to make your kick.
Yeah.
So but, you know, that's it comes down to Rusty's thing. But is there anyone else on the field who could have done it? Like.
I mean, he's the
they don't have. When was the last non-10?
Colby's taken kicks at goal before, but he wasn't playing in that game. Who else have they had to take kicks at goal?
Because I thought the shame was, everyone's just talking about his kick, but he actually played really nicely.
He was put like the Pumas guys were finding it hard. They would like knock on these high balls, and then that would lead to a scrum. Scrum would lead to a penalty. So it was playing right into the box.
It's such a weapon that the box have, with like, oh. Like, you hear the commentator, we hear the South African commentators like, oh, we've got a scrum, they've got a scrum, and we'd usually be like, oh, we lost ball. They'd be like, great job, opportunity for a penalty here.
Mm.
Like, that's what irritates me about scrum. I'm like, it shouldn't be an opportunity for a penalty. It should be an opportunity to restart the game.
Oh, well, Argentina won. Famous victory. Rugby championship still alive.
Come on.
So
what has to happen for the Springboks
I think Argentina basically just needs to win and deny the box a losing bonus point, if I'm not mistaken. Somebody will correct me if I'm wrong.
I thought
I'm
they needed 3 points to win. Do they get 2 losing bonus points? Like 4 tries and 1?
You need to get 3 tries more than your opponent to get the bonus point.
They didn't do
Let
that.
Let me check the table. Rugby Championship table. The box this are on 19.
This section of the pod is brought to you by Full Paws Run. It's called Mark Checks His Phone.
Yeah. Box are on 19. Pumas are on 14. Oh, yeah. So the Pumas would need another 5 points just to get to 19. So they definitely need to deny the box a losing bonus point and preferably get a bonus point win. So it's still pretty much South Africa's.
But you would have said this is South Africa's game last 100%, week, for sure. They were 17 points up.
This is true.
Anything can happen.
What do you think happens? Do the box...
I'd be off the couch happy if...
Argentina got their first ever. Oh, it'd be amazing.
What time's the game?
It'll be like 3 in the morning or something. The South Africans like afternoon games.
Stop being obnoxious.
4 a.m. That's a bit better. Better than 3 a.m. by 1 hour. Early rise. Get up out of bed.
What are they afternoon? Everybody else in the world has.
No, the Europeans like their afternoon games as well.
Test matches.
So yeah, usually evening games.
Yeah. We give them evening games because they get them in the morning.
Time zones, yeah. Repay the favor.
Come on, give us some evening games. Let us sleep in. Well, I don't remember many evening games at all in South Africa.
No, both the games against the All Blacks were 3 a.m. for us.
Yeah, that was really fun. Thanks for that, South Africa. Really appreciate that. Thanks for taking care of us. Our brothers from
Do South you think Africa. The Box smashed the Pumas in the next one, or do you think it's another tight one?
Well, history would tell us, yes.
Yeah, the way the Pumas go.
But... I don't know, man. I really don't know. I definitely Springboks going is heavy.
Springboks are paying $1.05 to win.
Oh, God.
So virtually guaranteed. And the All Blacks are also $1.05 to win.
Wow. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. So both sides are back at home.
So that's
for the
good
next
money
games.
on the Argies if you put a few quid on them.
Mm-hmm.
South Africans probably get it. And we probably. It's a Wellington.
Yeah, that's why they brought in Wayne Smith.
Yeah, stop shitting the bed in Wellington.
Yeah. So do you think both the home sides smash it in like the bookies are predicting?
I don't think we smash Australia.
Okay.
I think Australia get a lot of confidence going out of that. I think we play well for this first 50 minutes.
Do we score any points in the final 20?
Probably not.
Okay.
Well, you know what Dr. Phil says to us, tells us?
No.
The best indicator of future behavior is past behavior. And sadly is. If you think about
Dr. Phil.
Yeah. If you think about you, all the shitty things you've done in the past, that's basically saying, probably going to do them again.
Dick pics. Going to send them to everybody.
Dick pic central.
Well, that's indeed. The rugby championship. One round to go.
You know what? I've been jonesing. Absolutely jonesing to know what happened in the Pacific Nations.
Fiji got it done.
Boom.
In Japan. Ba-boom. You predicted it.
Boom.
I said
Ba-boom.
Japan.
Ba-boom.
I was dead wrong.
Ba-boom. But what was the score? Who were the try scorers?
At halftime.
What were the key offense, Mark?
At halftime, it was pretty tight. Was it 10-all?
10-all at halftime.
Full time.
2 sets of 5.
Full time.
Halftime was 2 sets of 5 = 10. 10-all.
Full time was Japan 17.
17 for JPN Japan.
Fiji was 41.
Fiji fucking pumped them in the bum.
They did. In the second half, they really ran away with it.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with being pumped in the bum if you're into that. Sort
gotta
of
love it.
Yeah, gotta love it. Okay, fair enough. I respect that from you, Mark. And to be honest, always suspected it.
What's that McDonald's thing? I'm loving it.
I'm loving it. So, sorry, I was singing too much. 41-17.
There's a hiding. Ooh, hiding and a half.
What happened?
The Fijians had this guy come off the bench for his debut. He's a double Olympic medalist. I forget his name. It ends in Musi.
Ends in Musi.
Togi Musi or something like that. Mm-hmm. Apologies. But he had a blinder. He scored 2 tries.
Just played incredibly well.
He's a Fijian fast outside back. Who would have thought?
Never seen one of those before.
Yeah.
And the Was there a big crowd?
Yeah, really good crowd over in Japan. Oh, not quite sold out, but yeah, they got pumped. It was really even at halftime, and then Fiji just way too good.
Yeah, bigger, faster athlete.
Yeah, they were just... I mean, it wasn't even... Because up until this point, Fiji's been like, we've got a big scrum, and we defend really well, but no, they just like went back to like, hey, let's just be Fijian.
Yeah, when in doubt, well, with DNA, yeah. It's what theme of the episode is, what's your DNA? DNA.
So yeah, well done Fiji. That means they go above the Aussies in the world rankings. Fiji's 9, Australia's 10. Ireland, number 1. That's why I'm wearing the Ireland gear. Ireland is now the number 1 side in the world.
Should we sing the Irish rugby national anthem?
No, we shouldn't.
Ireland, Ireland, together standing tall. Shoulder to shoulder, we'll answer Ireland's call. We'll answer Ireland's call. Sorry, I ruffled you up over there.
Well done.
My apologies.
Irish teams were in action in the URC.
Oh, tell me about the...
Leinster beat Edinburgh.
Okay, what?
Can I tell you?
Leinster beat Edinburgh. So
of all the games this weekend in the URC opening round,
yes,
biggest margin of victory, 5 points.
Wow!
Every game either went down to a late consolation try or a late winner.
Holy smokes!
Yeah, it was great.
That's really exciting. I wish I watched some of it.
Good for the club. Yeah, your team Munster won. I think 2 points they beat. Connacht, it was 35-33. That game was bonkers. Josh Ioane played.
Suck on that, Bundy.
Josh Ioane scored a try, set up 2 tries.
Is he playing for Munster?
He's playing for Connacht.
Ah, next to Alex Bundy.
Alex Nankerville scored a try for Munster. And Aidan Morgan, the former Hurricanes lad, scored a try for the Ulster boys on debut. So, Kiwis in Ireland. We love it.
Can they take Josh Ioane if they want? Is he made? Did he play for the All Blacks once?
Yeah, he played once.
Well,
he's 29, so he's just
playing. They come over late.
Played really well, though.
Bundy Ikey's still a freak. Did he play?
He's an Irish citizen now. No, he didn't play.
Congratulations, Bundy.
A lot of the guys were out. But yeah, Leinster won, Munster won. The Dragons beat the Ospreys, which was an upset. That was a last minute win, like 84th minute winner.
You know what's sad about that?
I don't know what's sad about that. You prefer Ospreys to Dragons?
No, Welsh teams don't often win. And they had to get an upset over another Welsh team.
What was the other one of the other Welsh teams won? The Scarlets drew with Benetton, which was also an upset. Who's the other Welsh side?
Cardiff.
Cardiff. They beat Zebre, like the bottom side from last year. They beat them at Cardiff Arms Park. And there's a shitload of people there.
Very nice.
I was like, nobody's going to go to that game. It's Zebre coming to town. It's like the Sunwolves coming to town of old. But no, people turned up in droves.
They're good folks, the Welsh.
All the weather seemed pretty good, though. So I guess it's the end of the summer. It's the start of autumn over there. So
we're getting the first swallows of summer over here. We're
finally getting some nice weather. It pissed down all last week.
Pissed down. It was good on Saturday. Played a bit of golf. Played a bit of Ambrose.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Yeah, it was good.
Could be making videos. You're off whacking some balls.
Yeah, it's good fun. Play with the boys. It was boys' weekend, 3-on-3. We lost by one shot.
Tragic, just like Martin Hillebuck missing that penalty.
We went round one over par. Then three of us were pretty shit golfers. Anyway, you'd like Ambrose. You know what Ambrose is?
Ambrose. Isn't he the guy who wrote Band of Brothers?
Maybe, but it's not the person I was referring to on the golf course.
Okay.
You can't play the Band of Brothers style of golf.
Oh.
So Ambrose is the Yanks call it a scramble. So Ambrose basically is you play with some people. Mm-hmm. There might be multiple teams. So it's team golf. And you might play with 3 people, 2 people, 4 people. We were playing 3s on the weekend. And you all tee off. And you might do a crap shot. Someone else might do another kind of okay shot. And then
you play the best ball?
Yeah, you play the best ball. And then everyone goes to that best ball spot. And then you'll play from
That's
there.
A good way to play.
It's a great way, especially for beginners.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you play well, you know, we played only 9 and everybody had to at least contribute 2 tee shots. So you have to have one A couple of good shots off the tee.
Did you have any decent shots off the tee?
I actually played pretty damn poorly, but I was the best player on our pretty crap team.
Wow, that's a pretty sad set of events.
So, but I was really I feel pretty good off the tee most of the time, but I scrambled a couple out there, but just wasn't really hitting it clean. Just not getting through the ball nicely. It was just a bit squally.
I've seen you whack some balls before.
Yeah, I can hit the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me, not so much.
Well, you'd never hit a golf ball in your life.
That's true.
It was like watching a giraffe try and play snooker.
This is true.
Blanky and awkward.
Very awkward. It felt robotic and mechanical. It felt awful.
Yeah, you look very wristy.
Yeah, I think this is the cricket.
Yeah.
Like, you got to unlearn like muscle memory.
Sort of just...
Keep it all mechanical.
Just relax through the upper body. You know, be in a sort of athletic posture. Stay centered. Try and think about just good contact with the ball. Follow through nicely. Try not to hook it. Try not to slice it. Golf. Know your distances.
Anything else going on?
I need to urinate. Okay. Not like crazy amount. Like there's been podcasts where I've just been like,
gotta pee.
Oh jeez, can we? But there's a urine brewing.
Okay.
Yeah.
NHL preseason started.
Oh yeah. How are the my team?
Red Wings?
Red Wings. Yeah.
I don't know.
How's the Penguins going?
Don't know.
How are the Oilers doing?
I don't know.
How are the Canucks going?
I'm not sure.
How are the LA Kings going?
Pass.
How are the... I'm trying to remember the other teams I know. How are the Boston...
The Bruins?
Bruins. Oh, no, you just...
Not sure, sorry.
Bruins going. Okay. How are the... I've already said Oilers, haven't I?
Yeah.
Calgary.
No, not sure.
There's a team in Arizona for some stupid reason.
No, they got moved to Utah.
Okay, and what are they called?
They haven't got a name yet. They're just called Utah Hockey Club.
Okay, this is some exciting stuff. If you want to watch,
New Jersey Devils. Yeah, they lost their preseason game to the Islanders. Thanks for that one. Yes.
Okay, fantastic. If you want to watch some good hockey content, go check out the hockey guy.
Yeah, he's the guy who inspired my channel.
If we've just really just tantalized your appetite
that guy does like freaking 4 videos a day.
He's a savage.
I don't know what he does.
Do you think you could do more than one video today?
The thing about the NHL is they can play every day.
Yeah.
Like they play 2 games in a day, like 2 games in 2 days. So rugby players can't do that. We only do weekends.
Right.
So I kind of envy the fact that he can be like Wednesday, it's game day, whereas I'm like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, no games, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, games. Maybe Sunday, not even games. So
you don't get weekends.
I kind of get packed weekends and then not so much stuff.
Yeah, even in the summertime, you're still covering stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, my urination desire is increasing. Thank you very much for watching the podcast.
2 cents gets urinated.
It's a rugby podcast. Official name.
Cheers to Brad for sponsoring the podcast.
Thanks for the copy. I'll read my favorite line again from it. And it's right. That's right. It's not just a walk. So
I'll make sure to put the links to Brad's services down in the description if you are looking to get your dog walked or boarded in Whangarei.
Boarded or walked. Or just go follow
us. On the boardwalk.
Or
on
if
the boardwalk.
You can suck a cock
on the boardwalk. Send a dick pic.
It's cock heavy.
It's very cock heavy. Apologies to you and your family.
Yeah, I probably need to aim up.
Didn't mean to make this so much about
it's on
dicks.
Your shelf.
It's all about dicks. Two dicks get distracted. All
right, cheers to you. Good on you. Good
Take
on you.
Care,
right on. See you later.